Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man and also a transgender man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this podcast, you can either email them to me at bonk@aol.com or write a note on the Blog Talk Radio. So just a couple things before I introduce my special guest for tonight. I have my new newsletter coming out next week. So I'm doing quarterly newsletters now. And this one talks about some very interesting topics. So if you would like to be on that list, all you have to do is write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And I'll be happy to add you to the mailing list. Also, I just wanted to mention that I am going to be taking a little break in September for a few weeks, but then we will resume. But we have some wonderful guests coming up over the next few weeks, so please make sure you tune in. And I think that does it about everything for my announcements. So without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest for tonight. Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Bonnie.
Thank you so much for being my guest. And also, thank you so much for just hanging and being part of this support system for so long. I was telling you before we started that, you know, I've been with you longer than my three marriages lasted. That's amazing, right?
Yes,
I mean,
it is.
I have had my
yes,
wonderful soulmate now for 26 and a half years, but those first few marriages just didn't make it for me. So, like I said, I've been with you even longer. And tell people how we first met.
Oh, my. So I had suddenly found out what my gay husband was up to, in part, I think it was late 2005. It was like opening Pandora's box. I happened to look up his email. He had this rather homoerotic sounding email that he used in Yahoo groups. And I looked it up, and lo and behold, I don't know how, maybe the sovereignty of our supreme being, but that email opened up, and I was able to see all of this disgusting gay porn. Also that he was away on a business trip, but I also saw email from a so-called bi, married, but curious man who was going to meet my husband at his hotel room that night. After I reacted, called him, etc., I spent the next few days before he came home searching for help, resources. Was I crazy? Was I making this up? You know, you're in denial, you're in shock. And I looked up something like straight wives, gay husbands, and I found Bonnie Kay. And I thank God for Bonnie, for the group. It has been a lifeline for me for all these years.
So let's go back now to the beginning. So What year did you meet your husband?
Oh, boy. It had to be, I was 20, so that had to be 1973. Now you know my age.
Lucky for you, my math is bad, so that's okay.
Okay, but I'm sure there's many of them reaching for their calculators now.
Unfortunately, anyway, I can just tell you you're younger than me, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Everybody's younger than us. But anyway, a friend that I had hung around with in high school asked me if he could bring a friend of his over to my apartment. And my roommate wasn't home that night, so I said, okay, and that was my husband-to-be. We met. We hit it off. We liked a lot of the same things, so we became fast friends, or so I thought. Would that it would only have remained a friendship, but within about 3 years, I realized I was falling for this guy, and I finally told him that, and he kind of didn't know what to make of it, right? We'd gone to the same high school together, and he had been like an uber geek, like with pop bottle glasses and all of that, and his father made him, even in the early 70s, put Brill cream in his hair like a greaser in the 50s. So, I mean, he was nothing to look at. plus, he had.
Did you know him in high school or not?
Just vaguely by sight, passing in the hall, but he never spoke.
Okay.
So that was, you know, one thing that we could connect on, and telling each other funny stories about the principal that was really a Nixon Law and Order type who would chase people with a bullhorn yelling, "Tell me." It was hilarious. But anyway, so sort of long lost brother from another mother, and then I found out that he was attending the church I was attending, as was my high school friend. So we started, like, sitting together, or sometimes we would go out for coffee with a couple of other people after, blah, blah, blah. So he finally took me home to meet his parents, and they were understandably thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Okay, great. They were thrilled, because what I know now is that everybody in the family was quite sure that he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
His aunt told me that before she passed away. And she said when we got married, they all collectively breathed a sigh of relief. And then we had kids. They
mm-hmm.
really exhaled. They were like, oh. So, yeah, well, fool me once, fool me twice.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know the old saying. And I was fooled a myriad of times. But I was...
And also, can I just bring up a point at this time about something you just said? Many times I find that the families suspect or have knowledge about, you know, the homosexuality, but they
mm-hmm.
don't tell us because
yep.
they think maybe they, you know, especially back then, people didn't understand homosexuality at all.
No,
so if
no.
a guy all of a sudden meets a girl, like my ex-husband,
mm-hmm.
his family knew. They knew through
mm-hmm.
all the years that he was doing gay kinds of things. But, you know, they knew, and it's so funny because after we were married and getting divorced, his mother said to me, I told you I thought he was gay. I said, you never told me that. You told me you thought I was crazy to marry him, but you never said why. But they all know,
mm-hmm.
and they think that we're solving the problem, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, now whatever that problem was is going away because now they met,
yep.
you know, a woman and everything's changing. So
mm-hmm.
they're hoping against hope that we're the solution to their problem. Would you say that's correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that just speaks to, you know, dysfunctional family systems and
mm-hmm.
magical thinking and all of that stuff. A couple of years ago, the pastor who married us reached out to me on Facebook. And so I asked him, why did you marry us when you knew my husband was gay? And he denied it up and down. But I know he knew. I know
mm-hmm.
he knew. Because there had been some things that had gone on with a so-called roommate who is actually, I have now found out, his first gay lover. and there were some, shall we say, disciplinary action that occurred.
Uh-huh.
And yet they were fine having me marry this guy, even though they knew what the issue was. So...
Well, they probably thought you're the solution to the problem.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's marrying you now, then he must not going to be gay anymore. Because that's how
mm-hmm.
people used to think. You know, they used
mm-hmm.
to think that gay was something you could turn on and off or pick and
right.
choose, like vanilla or chocolate ice cream. And if you're choosing
yep.
to be straight, well, then his problem's over now and you're going to cure it for him.
Which is so, it's so nonsensical because, okay, to my Christian sisters out there, I'm sorry, you cannot pray away the gay. I believe
uh-huh.
that you are, it is a genetic predisposition. You are
uh-huh.
either born gay or you're born straight. I didn't
uh-huh.
choose to be straight. I didn't choose that. I just am. Okay? So, and a lesbian friend of mine once said, why on earth, she said this to me, why on earth would I choose to be part of a group that is persecuted by people? Well, good point.
Right.
But
right.
She was honest about her orientation and not, you know, in the closet. So.
Right. And
the
point is that I agree with you 100% that, you know, Christians feel, well, you take a vow for better or worse,
mm-hmm.
sickness and
mm-hmm.
health, so death be apart. But guess what? It didn't say for better or worse, sickness and health, straight or for gay. That's not part of your marriage vow. And
no,
if you do
not.
Believe in Jesus, from everything I've read about Jesus, that Jesus is against homosexuality in the Bible, is that true?
No, he never said that. Think about
this.
No, he
didn't? Okay.
I've
had a lot of Christians
that,
tell me that.
No. This is something that blows my mind, because when Jesus walked the earth, there were the Greeks, there were the Romans, and we know that they were sexually wild, okay? We know that. There was a lot of homosexuality, for that matter. There was pedophilia, etc. Jesus had ample opportunity to speak out against that. He did not, at least in recorded scripture. It wasn't until St. Paul or Saul of Tarsus came on the scene. And I have also read that the this will be controversial for some of us, but I have read that the word in the Greek that was translated as homosexual actually meant pedophile. So what he was condemning was pedophilia of older men with young boys rather than consenting males together. So it grinds my gears a little bit.
Well, I think it's really great that you clarify that. I know a lot of times people use the Christian church by saying, you know, homosexuality is condemned in the Bible, but let's say that it was theoretically at some point. That would be even more of a reason why you should not stay in a marriage to a gay man, you know, if you're a Christian. It's not like you have to feel like, took a vow and I'm stuck with it for life. You didn't take that particular vow.
Yes, and what my counselor at the time, and he is a Christian, finally said to me, he almost got in my face, and he said, you have to leave this marriage. It's going to kill you emotionally, physically, or spiritually, or all of the above. And that shook me to my core.
That was wonderful for him to say that. That was excellent.
Yes. Yes. And, of course, the first that I found out that my ex was sexually active with other men, I was terrified that I must have HIV or something like that. And that was the first thing I did, was make an appointment with my OBGYN. And I felt such deep shame. And I'm sure all of us have experienced that shame, as if what the heck is wrong with me that I didn't know better, right? But let's remember that we have been manipulated and gaslighted, and most of these guys are malignant narcissists. I'm sorry to say that, but that's what I've found in my experience. So, I mean, what my ex is doing now to hurt me is just as abjectly vile as what he did back when I found out. And that is that he's been lying to my daughter about me, and she now doesn't speak to me because she believes that we didn't get divorced because he was gay. It was something else, and I had misled her. Wow.
How did that come about? How did you mislead her?
I didn't. I mean, I said to her, you were there when he X, Y, Z, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I had to get a restraining order. He tried to accost her and me physically because we were leaving the house. My son was standing up to his father as his father was getting increasingly violent. Now, my son is a real man because he did that. My kids grew up in an atmosphere of fear, because if their father got PO'd, he would act out violently. He would punch walls, he would punch doors, he would slam things, he would break things. He actually spanked them several times to the point that their bare butts were bright red and I had to put ice on them. Now, what the hell was wrong with me that I didn't leave then? That's a good question, but I was codependent as heck. So, yeah.
So when you look at yourself back at the beginning of the marriage, how many years would you say were good years?
Let me see. None. That's a really good question.
You know, realistic. That was my reality, too. So, you know, I wouldn't feel bad about saying that.
The first, on her honeymoon, okay, That was back in the day of hard contact lenses, right? So I had hard lenses in, and I remember we were coming home from our 3-day honeymoon up in the mountains, and we stopped at a little gas station to fill up and get a couple of Diet Pepsis. And when we were in the car, somehow my husband swung his arm around and hit me in the face with his arm. And it was so hard that my contact broke in half. And I cried out and had to get the thing out of my eye. And it was my fault. That it was all my fault. Well, I found out later that it's my fault. I mean, I think the Black Plague is my fault in his book. You know, all sorts of things, because it's so exaggerated. And what I think my daughter has learned from all of this is that somebody always has to be the villain. It's all or nothing thinking. Nothing can be gray. There has to be somebody to be blamed, which is also dysfunctional and codependent. So he just played right into that.
How long did you go with him before you got married?
Oh, I think it was like 3 years or so.
Okay. Did any of these signs present themselves before you got married?
Well, I think you know this story that I had moved from my roommate situation to a living by myself situation, and I had a small apartment that was attached to a home. It was like a mother-in-law apartment. And he came over one night, I think it was Wednesday night after Wednesday service, and we got into a little bit of a disagreement, and he stomped out and stood on my front lawn and kept screaming about what a bitch I was. What a bitch, you bitch, you bitch. And I locked the door because his behavior scared me and triggered me. I called his dad, sobbing. And his dad just said very sadly, "I don't know, that's the way he gets sometimes." I told my friends what happened, and they urged me, this is like 2 months before we got married, they urged me to call the wedding off. Oh no, not me. I wanted so badly to be loved and to be married that I just ignored it. Yeah.
And I think that's normal for people to feel that way. They think, well, he had a bad day, he had a bad moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's perfect. Right?
Right, right. Yeah, but like 3 weeks after we were married, we had another small dust up, and he pulled a knife out of the kitchen drawer, like a large knife, and he said he was going to kill me and then kill himself. Well, I was terrified. I lit out of that apartment like my pants were on fire, and there was a nursing home next door. I still remember this so clearly. I ran to the nursing home. I ran up to the nurse's desk. I begged to use their phone because this is before cell phones, right?
Right.
And I called some adult friends, and then they came over, and they basically just told him to grow up. Now, if I could parent my younger self, I would say, girl, get the heck out of there.
Right.
So, yeah.
Now, so his family knew he had violent tendencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was just out of his frustration of being gay and not being able to be gay.
I think that is definitely part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting now that he is out and he's married to another man, he's just the happiest guy that you ever met. But he's still being vindictive towards me. And
do you think he's any different towards his husband, or do you think his husband's living the same life?
I don't think so, because I don't think his husband would put up with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know.
Because I found that after, you know, I split up with my, you know, gay husband, and he went on to have relationships with men, you know, most of them ended up at my door for help because he was treating them the same way he treated me.
Interesting.
You know, he may have started out better with them.
Mm-hmm.
But those personality traits took him. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. And my ex relishes being in the role of the sugar daddy now, which is ironic to me because he is an abject failure when it comes to financial matters.
Uh-huh.
When we got divorced, I had a FICO score of about 470. Okay, I was stunned, but he had taken my business credit card and run it up to the max, and he'd gotten a HELOC on our house and topped that off. And you know what he was doing with that money, so.
Uh-huh.
You know, fortunately, the court was lenient for me, and I worked diligently, and now I've got a very nice FICO score, but it took a while. It took a while, but ladies, you can do it. You can do it. And if you need help, there are agencies out there like Consumer Credit, places like that, that will help you. And credit unions are also great. So that's just my little witness.
Well, I think a lot of women are scared of leaving due to financial constraints.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of states, one of the problems I find, and I'm sure you feel the same way, is the whole issue of no-fault divorce.
Right,
that
right.
That states now, you know, they only have no-fault divorce. And
mm-hmm.
although I do believe some divorces are no fault, I believe that other divorces are totally fault. And
mm-hmm.
specifically, all marriages are totally fault because we had to live with a situation of fraudulence. So
absolutely.
We went into a marriage under, you know, false pretenses, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we built up our whole lives around that. And whatever we accumulated was also, like I say, between two people. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you have a fault marriage, at least women come out a little bit ahead. When you're no fault,
right.
you come out somehow behind. And that was one of my greatest hopes that, you know, eventually there could be a fault divorce when it's, you know, and I'm saying it's not just for this situation. For instance,
mm-hmm.
when there's domestic violence. Although you had domestic
yes.
violence in your marriage. So let's say you had just domestic violence without a gay husband. And
mm-hmm.
that would be a cause for me to also have a fault divorce. You're divorcing
yes.
someone who's, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Totally. And I think the judge took that into consideration, the fact that I had that temporary restraining order.
Mm-hmm.
I think that played a little bit into his thinking. With the settlement, but
usually that doesn't happen, and
yeah.
usually the judge doesn't
I
take that into consideration. And I've had women
yeah.
tell me that the judge says, "I don't care if you were married to a monkey, you know, it's no fault."
Seriously,
and
what a nice
you know, you're not getting
man.
Anything extra. It doesn't matter that he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it totally matters because he would still be married if it weren't for that, right?
Yep.
So I definitely feel these are fault marriages, and you certainly had more than your share of reasons. You know, you had the gay issue, but you also had the domestic violence, right?
Yes. I mean, I look back to after I had my daughter, and she was born in 89, okay? And so
mm-hmm.
I had two kids under the age of two, and that was a handful. And he got really mad at me for some reason. Do you remember those old Playtex nursers? They were like hard plastic, and then you would put the breast milk or the formula in
mm-hmm.
the plastic thing. Yeah. So I had asked him if he would go run the plastic bag underwater until it was warm. And so he did. And then I was standing in our bedroom holding the baby, and he brought that nurser in, and he pitched it at my head, and it hit me on my forehead and made a lump. And I was so troubled by that, the next day at work, I called a domestic violence hotline, and the guy advised me to get myself and my kids out of it. And I was too scared to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, so, I mean, women can really feel trapped, whether it's a straight guy who's violent or a gay guy who is doing all manner of bad things.
I think that when you have domestic violence in a situation, you feel even more trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I agree.
Then you can't even think clearly at all because you're always afraid. Am I right?
Yeah. He never raised a hand towards me because
mm-hmm.
I had told him when he got, you know, started punching walls and stuff, I said, if you ever do that to me, that's it. That is it. And he knew I meant it. So fortunately, it never came down to that. We never had blows physically. It would always be on other things. But you can't underestimate verbal abuse or emotional abuse. And I think a lot
mm-hmm.
of straight wives married to gay men have experienced that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And people don't recognize that.
Well, yeah. And I mean, gay men in general tend to be deeply in touch with their inner bitch, right?
Well, you know what it is. You know, the bad thing is, and this is what I read about in this upcoming newsletter, and also
uh-huh.
one of the other things I forgot to mention is we do have our Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, Volume 3 in the process of being put together
awesome.
Right now. And the whole introduction that I give is, you know, to put into the way I feel in my upcoming newsletter, that I have
mm-hmm.
definitely seen life change for straight wives in the last 10 years. And the way I've seen it change is so ironic that, you know, it used to be people felt sympathy for us when they would find out. You know, they
mm-hmm.
would question us, like, you didn't know? How could you not know? You know, did you make him
right,
gay?
Right.
You know, they would do all that stupid stuff. But once they got past that, then they used to feel bad for us. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because now these guys are being hailed as heroes because
yep.
they have the courage to come out. They have the courage
mm-hmm.
to live their authentic life. And then on top of it, they're not stupid either. What they're doing is telling people the best years of my life were when I was married to my wife. You know, I had 30 wonderful years. Well, sure you did. She was sitting there running around in circles trying to take care of you and make you happy while you were making
mm-hmm.
her miserable, and she just kept trying harder and harder, thinking she was doing something wrong. And so,
yep.
yeah, you had a great marriage, but nobody ever asks us how it was for us, do they?
Mm-hmm. I would agree. What I've gotten is the question, you never knew? You didn't have an
right.
inkling?
Right.
I mean, one woman who knew him in college said to me, oh, we all knew he was gay. Well, it would have been nice if you would have told me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It would have been, right?
It would have been. On one hand, I wouldn't have my kids, who I adore, even though my daughter
mm-hmm.
doesn't like me anymore. But when I think about the emotional trauma on them, not to mention on me, good grief.
How was he with them? How did he treat them?
Okay, this is interesting. Thank you for asking that, Bonnie. When
mm-hmm.
they were babies, he was wonderful. He was the best daddy ever. He was tender. He was nurturing. He would take care of them. He would get up in the middle of the night for them to let me sleep a little bit. I have to confess that I embraced somebody got upset. I embraced a thing that most pediatricians don't like now, and that is putting the baby in bed with you, because babies go through this thing where they are nursing almost 24/7 because they're in a growth spurt. And so I would just have my arm around the baby, and with both of them, I just let them, you know, grab on and drink away. When they weren't in that phase and they started, you know, crying, he would get up at least 50% of the time. It was once they started to individuate at, you know, two or three, that things started going badly. And by the time they were teenagers, it was really rough. It was rough. So, yeah, my son has told me stuff that he has always felt like his dad doesn't get him, quote unquote, get him. And it's so sad. I have a 32-year-old son. He's brilliant, handsome guy, big guy, 6'3", you know. But he still has this gaping daddy wound. And, you know, his dad didn't show him how to do guy stuff, if you will. So how to work on a car or how to use tools. He's had to pick that up from other people. And it just makes me feel sad.
How long did he know his dad is gay? Or when did he find out?
He found out when I found out.
Mm-hmm.
So he had just graduated from high school. I think he was 19 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter was 17.
Well, did that explain anything to him about the detachment or lack of fathering skills?
I think so. Maybe not, though. Because it is a wound, you know. It is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he blames it more on how his grandfather was, my ex's dad, who is also very detached and could be violent as well. So I think in some ways he makes excuses for his dad, which is normal.
Probably. Right. Because a lot of gay men I have found from what I've experienced, not all, certainly not all, but many of them don't make that father-son attachment that other fathers and sons have. And
right.
You know, there can be a variety of reasons. I always say that gay men don't think straight, so maybe there's a different kind of connection. Well, they don't. They're not straight. How can they? I don't think gay. You know, my perspective in life is a straight perspective, right? And yours, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think they pretend they're, you know, they do go through all the motions because, you know, they've been imitating this their whole lives. But when it comes to thought processes, I find they're different. And, you know, they look at things through gay eyes, which, you know, is very understandable because they're gay men or gay women, and their perceptions sometimes are different than ours. And so I think sometimes I've just found there's really lack of, you know, real hitting that connection between father and son with these gay fathers. Now, that's not to say it doesn't happen with straight fathers. I'm sure it does. But
it does.
Maybe it's because their minds are on other things or their priorities are different. Or they're living a life that's, you know, they're miserable in because they don't want to be in it. Maybe they're taking it out on their kids, feeling they're trapping them there. And that's a word that my ex-husband used to use quite often, the word trapped. Did you ever have your husband say that?
Just at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine always told me he was feeling trapped in the marriage. And I never understood what that meant because, you know, I said, well, what does trapped mean? That's... He says, well, you want to consume my time. Well, consume your time, I mean, you're my husband. You know, we should be doing
like
things together.
Like you're a vampire.
Right. No, I didn't get it. You know, I just couldn't understand it. Well, and later on, of course, when I found that he was gay, he was trapped. But these are traps they set up for themselves. We don't trap them into it. They trap themselves, and then they tell us that they feel trapped for setting up traps that they set up. Which is another thing I write about in this newsletter. But, you know, this is how they set up the traps. We fall into them, and then they punish us for it. Would you say that's
all I
true?
Can say is, yes, and I would also say boo the frickin' who to them. Because
mm-hmm.
you make choices. Choices always have some sort of ramification. So
mm-hmm.
to think that anything you do isn't going to have an impact on others is ridiculous, and I think it's a hallmark of narcissism.
Mm-hmm. And I do feel that gay men who marry are very different than gay men who don't marry. You know,
mm-hmm.
gay men who don't marry, maybe they're not open, maybe they're not living, you know, the stereotypical gay life, maybe they're not
mm-hmm.
going to gay bars, maybe they're not going to gay events, but they're not going to go out there and drag somebody else into their misery. You know,
exactly.
I think you have to be somewhat narcissistic to feel that it's okay to do that to other people.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay, I'm not living my authentic life and I have to get somebody to cover it for me. Or I'm
yep.
going to be miserable, so, you know, at least let me find somebody to share my misery with. You know, I just feel that there has to be a certain sense of narcissism before you get married in most cases, or certainly you develop it, you know, once you're in that marriage. Because you're always thinking of
Absolutely.
Yourself first and how your needs aren't
Absolutely.
Being met.
Mm-hmm.
And then blaming
mm-hmm.
your wife, like you were blamed, right?
Yes. Let's talk about the type of person that narcissists are attracted to, because
mm-hmm.
I think that's many, many, many of us straight wives. And I would say for the women that I know who have come out of relationships with narcissists, whether they're straight or gay, they are highly intelligent, they are empathic, they are intuitive, and they're kind. And for some reason, that's like honey to a bee or
exactly.
to a fly. You know? They
exactly.
Just, yeah. So to the ladies who are dealing with this, be kind to yourself, for goodness sakes. And also, I think some of us tended to be very naive. We believed the best.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't look at or listen to the red flags. And we
mm-hmm.
all know there were red flags. All of us in retrospect.
There were.
Those,
but you know
right?
what? As impasse and as, you know, that's part of our personality. I'm going to say deficiency now. I used to think it was a plus. I know it's a minus now. But, you know, we're always thinking that we can make things better. We're always
yes.
thinking that we can solve the problem. If only we try
exactly.
hard enough, we can change them. See, that thinking is very sick. But it was my
it
thinking. I'm
it
the first to raise my
too.
Hand and say, yep, that's how I used to think. I used to think if something's broken, I can fix it. And were you like that, Bill?
I've got so much love.
Mm-hmm.
I can just love them well. And I think
mm-hmm.
you know, in therapy, what I have come to believe is that that's definitely part of codependence. But it's on
mm-hmm.
our side or our end. It's a little bit of a messiah complex. I mean, who the heck do we think we are that we can fix somebody who's so toxic and broken?
Exactly. But, you know, what we do it with good intentions. You know, like I say, when you're younger especially, you know, how old were you when you got married?
25.
Okay. And I was 27 when I married my gay husband. But
mm-hmm.
The thing is, even in my 20s, and even though I was out in the world and I had previous
mm-hmm.
marriages and thought I knew so much, really was blindsided on this deal. I really knew nothing. Because I'm not going to, I never mislead people. If I had been told, and I was told prior to my marriage by someone, they thought my husband was bisexual. And I found
mm-hmm.
that so hard to believe because, first of all, I didn't know him a long period of time. It was only a few months. And it was
mm-hmm.
a very intense few months because of the activities I was involved in at that time as an activist when I met him. But, you know, it was like so intense, our relationship. And I
mm-hmm.
didn't really have time to know him. And, yes, there
mm-hmm.
were red flags, like you said. But I felt like, here's a guy who I can really love. Here's a guy who could really love me. This is a guy, he looked like Sylvester Stallone. You know, he was a martial artist. He was Mr. Strong. And when somebody said that to me, I said, that's bisexual. But even if I would have thought it, because I didn't understand it, I would have thought bisexuality is a choice, and he's choosing me. Well, that's how I would have thought. You know, I thought I would never think the word gay because he was marrying me, and we never thought gay people would marry a straight, but I had heard bisexuality, and I thought, well, bisexual means that you can go with this one, you can go with that one, and you choose to go with that one, so it's not a gay thing. You know, we just didn't have enough information back then, right?
No,
I mean, today
didn't.
People know a lot more than we know.
Yeah, and there was such a stigma, too. And I have to say, with my ex-husband, I used to be quite the homophobe myself, okay? I freely own that. But he did not come out until about 2 years after our divorce. And he had a job that took him to the Middle East for 6 months. And he was isolated. He didn't know the culture. And what he eventually said to me was he had nothing but time on his hands and all he could do was think. And that's when he finally came to the realization, oh, my God, yes, I am gay. So after that, he came out to his kids, which went a huge, it made a huge impact on their relationship with him. They have both told me that they know he is a compulsive liar, which he is. But at least he was honest about that, right? So I feel proud of him for that hard work that he did. But I don't feel he's never expressed any remorse. And I'm sure most of the ladies know exactly what that feels like. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I misled you. You know, blah, blah, blah. So,
Are we still waiting for those words to come out?
Hell will freeze over before those words come out.
You know why? Because they don't have any remorse. You know, these men feel that they did their best, that they were trapped in a place they didn't belong, but they wanted to do the right thing. So they feel after 25 years of torturing us, that was the right thing because they put a roof over our head or they were father to the children. And now it's time for them to move on to their authentic life because they've given up all those years. So they're not remorseful. They're resentful. They're resentful
they
that they
resentful.
Had spent all those years with us and not be happy. So why would they apologize?
But
they don't.
Exactly. But what I struggle with is feeling resentful that I gave the best years of my life, my youth, my beauty.
My energy
to someone who didn't give a flying whatever. I'm not going to use the word.
Well, you're absolutely right, 100%.
Yeah. It's disgusting. And I've been in therapy a lot, even this year. And I got to tell you, my therapist, and she's great, has said to me, and it's mostly because of the daughter issue, but she has said to me, I think you have dealt with this as well as anybody could, which encouraged me. It encouraged me. And I thank you, Bonnie, and the resources that you've provided for so many of us. That has helped me come a long, long way. And so for the ladies who are new, I'm just going to say hang in there. It never stops hurting completely, I don't think. I mean, I'm 10-plus years in. I still have
huge regrets. Well, I have some good news for you. Another 10 years,
What's
you're
that?
Not going to be hurting too much.
Awesome. If I'm
healing
still alive.
Is a long, It's true. Healing is a long process, I will say. But after 20 years, I was able to not let it affect me nearly as much. But let me ask you this. Has your life gone on in a positive way?
Ish. So I remarried, which was a big mistake. That it was another narcissist. He did the same thing that your gay ex did to you, and that was love bombing the first few months. It was just, oh, I can't believe it. And you're so hungry to have somebody really love you, right?
Exactly.
And so I fell for it. I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. My mother had died 6 months before, so I was really emotionally needy and still broken. And I should have guarded my heart, and I didn't. So after 3 years, we got married, and it was like Jekyll and Hyde, just Jekyll and Hyde. And so I realized very quickly what had happened, and I divorced the guy. I initiated it, call me a hard bitch. But I wasn't going to go through that. I was not going to go through that again. So
good.
I got out. Last time I saw him, he took his wedding ring and threw it at my face. And I thought, oh, that's familiar. So, yeah.
How long was it before you got married again?
About 5 years.
I think a big problem that a lot of women have is after the marriage, and maybe you could confirm this, you know, we're all so needy to be loved because we've been so destroyed in these marriages.
Yes.
And, you know, these marriages do immeasurable harm that people don't recognize unless you've lived through this.
Exactly.
And, you know, it just destroys every single ounce of your self-esteem, your sexual esteem, your feminine spirit, you know, every esteem that you can name, it destroys. And not only that, but, you know, the gay lighting, or they call it gaslighting, I call it gay lighting, making you think you're crazy all the time and that it's your fault, you know, it just destroys who you are as a person. So, naturally, after these marriages, I see people go out and start dating right away. And I tell them, big mistake. Big mistake. You want to go out and have some great sex, okay, do that. But if you want to tell me you're involved in a relationship with somebody 6 months later, I'm going to tell you you're headed for doom, because this process of healing takes a long time. Having to relearn who you are, why you, you know, were putting up with all this stuff, why you allowed it to go on, and then working to change it so we don't keep making the same mistakes. It's like you said at the beginning, a narcissist will look for you because you're empathic, you're kind, and that's who they target. That's who they fall in with. And when they know that you've come out of a bad marriage that's been abusive, boy, you're number one candidate. Because they saw somebody else could do it to you, they're going to do it to you. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And then he found out that I had inherited some money from my mother. And the plot thickened. So I'm not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination, but this was enough to give him the nest egg that he needed to buy his father's business before his father died. And I didn't realize that at the time. Afterwards, I did, when he sold his own home to buy the business. And he was always after me to sell my home. And I would say, no, this is my home. Never put it in his name, thank God. Yeah, it was,
thank God,
it was ugly stuff. Yeah, it was ugly stuff. So I may still have an ache in my heart, but I'm smarter than I was, I think.
Well, you know what? We get smarter faster, but it's not like we can't make the same mistakes again. And that's why I tell women, you have to know who you are and be so strong with it before you enter into a real relationship with somebody, even if it was 5 years later. Even in five years, it doesn't mean that you... I mean, look, I made mistakes within a few years. I mean, I'm the first to admit it because I still hadn't changed me inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
still
needy. And I still wanted somebody to love me. I spent my whole life waiting for people to love me. I mean, it wasn't this relationship that I finally can understand what true love is. And I'm willing to give everything because I'm getting it back, you know, and that's what love is about. It's not about a taker and a giver. It's about a giver and a giver. That's real love.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I had to go through hell and back, and I waited 11 years of nothing. And I was happy because I was learning to love me. And sometimes that's just good enough. People, you know, but I did want somebody to love, but I couldn't do it until I knew I wasn't going to get hurt again. And I think that's the problem so many of our women make, because we are empaths and because we don't change who we are. You know, I say all the time, Linda, I wish I could have been born a bitch. My life would have been better. You know, but unfortunately, I'm not. Unfortunately, I'm like you. And so, you know, we have to go and be wearing a shield, you know, like getting a shield away from all these guys coming at us, like knocking them down. Because otherwise, they're going to find us again and again. Right?
Which is why I don't date. I might, but at this point, I don't trust myself anymore. I know I have healed a lot, but I don't want to, you know, a three-time loser. No, thank you.
No, that's okay. I wasn't a winner till my fourth time, so don't feel bad.
Well, congratulations
on that. Yeah, one more time, you can do it and be a loser. Then you'll be a winner. But hopefully you'll be a winner the next time. But, you know, when your heart's ready to open again, hopefully you'll meet some nice guy and really check him out and have me check him out, because I'm always happy to do that for my women. If you're unsure, your Aunt Bonnie's always around, or your Cousin Bonnie, in your case, if you think I'm too young to be your old to be your aunt, I'm your Cousin Bonnie, who wants to meet your boyfriend. Yeah, and I'll check him out, and even before anything, get me his name, and I'll really check him out. And that's what people have to do. They have to be more cautious and more careful.
Yep.
So,
absolutely,
you know, I can't believe a whole hour just passed by us. We're down to our last couple minutes. I really appreciate so much your input, and I think there's a lot more for us to talk about. So would you mind coming back in the fall again?
No, not at all.
There's a lot of issues we haven't talked about. You know, I can't believe how fast this hour is almost over. But, you know, I really appreciate your being on the show, and I think it's a lesson to women. How many years were you in that first marriage?
28.
28 years of your life. Poof. Gone.
Yep.
And like you said, this is what hurts the most, that people don't understand. The best years of our lives are over.
Yep.
They've been sacrificed into living in a world of chaos and unhappiness because of someone who is totally misleading to us. One last fast question I have to ask you. Before you found that on the computer, was gay going through your mind?
Yes.
Okay, so that will be what we'll start talking about when you come to the next show. We're going to go back and get people some red flags that came up in your marriage and why you were thinking that and why you weren't totally shocked. So once again, I really appreciate it. And to the women who are listening to this show, also, I still have room for another couple stories for my Straight Wives Part 3 book. So if any of you are interested, please write to me at bondk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you the guidelines if you want to be part of this new endeavor. 10 years later from Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, Part 2, a lot of things have changed, but the agony is still there for all of us going through this. So to all of our listeners, I will be back next week. Linda, thank you so much. It's been wonderful having you as a guest, and I look forward to having you back in the fall.
Okay. Thank you, Bonnie.
All right. Everybody, good night. Have a wonderful week, and love to you all. Good night.